I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today on the Inland Journal podcast, correspondent John Vlahovic introduces us to one of the candidates for the Spokane Valley City Council, Brandi Peets. Peets is already on the council. Her opponent is former Spokane Valley employee Michelle Rasmussen, from whom we'll hear tomorrow. As a council member, Peets has supported using surplus money in the Spokane Valley City budget to pay for road maintenance. Council members are wrestling with that issue as funds from the state gas tax and the city's landline telephone tax have decreased in recent years. Peets advocates for having the city of Spokane Valley join the city of Spokane and Spokane County in creating a regional homeless shelter. Here she is with John Vlahovic.
I want to start by asking your background. You've served 2 years on the city council so far. Yes. What other background do you have?
Yes, so I've been a Spokane Valley resident for the past 28 years. I'm a proud CV Bear. And so after high school, I decided to go to SEC. And so while there, I decided to get involved with student government, which is kind of where I got my start with politics. And so I ran for vice president and I was elected. And so there we were in charge of a multi-million dollar budget. We were able to work through that. I got to go over to Olympia, speak with some of our legislators and advocate on behalf of our students and some of the fees that we were receiving. So that's where I got my start. And then from there, I started volunteering at the Greater Spokane Substance Abuse Council, and it was there that I served on the Power Coalition Board. So we worked with some of our probation departments and law enforcement and other entities to help people who have drug addiction and other issues. And I helped facilitate many of the programs that were there, such as the DUI Victims Panel and the 24-hour jail alternative program that's through the Arroway Heights Correctional Facility. And so from there, I decided to go to Gonzaga and I got my criminal justice degree in sociology. And it was there that I got a job and was offered a position at 911. And so I did that for about a year. And then from there, I became an office manager. And I've been running an office for the past 4 years. And so budgets and making sure everything runs smoothly and being fiscally responsible is something that I've done for the past 4 years. So I have quite a bit of experience. It's very diverse, but I bring a lot of different perspectives.
And what brought you to the Spokane Valley City Council initially?
Several reasons. So my dad always instilled in me when I was younger that if I was going to have an opinion, I needed to be part of the solution. So there were some things that were going on our city council that I wasn't exactly happy about. And so I decided that I needed to get involved. There was an opening that nobody had applied for the city council position. I put my name in the ring and here we are.
And now you've been on for 2 years. This will mm-hmm. be your technically your first full term, although you've already been serving.
Correct.
So you're emphasizing in your campaign public safety, neighborhood integrity, and community engagement. Let's talk about each of those mm-hmm. individually. And let's start with public safety. What exactly are you emphasizing in terms of public safety for Spokane Valley?
Of course. So because I'm the only person on the council that has the experience with public safety, I think it's very important to note that 60% of our budget is public safety related. And so I have a perspective not only as a citizen, not only as a council member, but also as somebody who worked in the criminal justice field. So I have a very diverse perspective on what we should be doing with our public safety dollars. Not only that, but I have a lot of relationships in our public safety realm here in Spokane and regionally. And so one of the things that I like to talk about is that I was actually able to bring a national conference here to Spokane. It's called NACOLE. So it's the National Association of Citizens for Oversight of Law Enforcement. And there were about 500 people that came from all over the world to come here and talk about how we can either both help or make some changes policy-wise for law enforcement that's better for our citizens. And so that's something that I got to be a part of. I was on the Citizens Advisory Board for the Spokane County Sheriff's Office, where I was appointed. And so I do have a lot of that experience that I get to take over with me to council. And so a couple of things that we've done recently is that we actually implemented what's called a power shift. And essentially what that means is we make sure that there's enough law enforcement out in our community during those peak call times to make sure that, you know, we have enough officers to be responding to the amount of calls that we get. And that's really important, especially since, you know, public safety, without it, you can't really have anything else. And so stressing that has been something of a passion of mine. And also, too, we were able to work with our legislators last year, and we had some trouble filling some of our positions because some of our law enforcement officers were having to go over to Burien, the west side, to get trained. And in the meantime, you know, people need to be having income. And so they would go to other agencies that we'd be able to get them trained quicker. So we worked with our legislators, and they were able to bring two of those classes to Spokane. So not only are we saving taxpayers money because they don't have to pay travel or per diem, and they don't have to go over to Seattle, but we can get them out on the field faster. So that's something that I was very excited about. And just recently, too, as a council, we implemented $100,000 to be able to put a law enforcement officer with a behavioral health employee and go out together. And this saves our taxpayers money because those who are experiencing these crises aren't going to the jail, but they're getting the help that they need. And so public safety is a huge passion of mine. And like I said, I'm the only candidate that has that experience. And I think that's very important.
Spokane Valley relies for the bulk of its public safety coverage on a contract with Spokane County Sheriff's Department.
Mm-hmm.
Can that continue that way, or are you going to have to look at some point at a police department within Spokane Valley's government itself?
Right now, we have a really good contract with our county sheriff's office, and we get a good bang for our buck. We get great service. The sheriff and our police chief work great together, and until I see a little bit more expansion, I mean, we haven't quite hit the 100,000 mark, but it may be a conversation we have to have later. But for right now, it's working great for us. And I really honestly think that we have a pretty good thing going with the sheriff's office. And it is a contract that we renew every 5 years. So if there's something that arises, it's definitely something that we can take a look into. But for right now, the citizens are getting a good bang for their buck.
And is the same true with your contract with Fire District 1 for fire protection and the county library for library services? Can you say that basically they're good developments as well?
Yes, absolutely. They do great services for our citizens, and I really appreciate the work that they do for us.
Let's turn briefly to neighborhood integrity. Define that term for me.
Of course. So people that live in Spokane Valley come there for a reason. And one of those being, we have bigger lot sizes, we have a very good community feel, and people like the atmosphere that's in Spokane Valley. And so we want to make sure that although we're growing, we're making sure that we're being responsible about it. So just making sure that if we're putting, housing, which we absolutely need, we're putting it in spots where they need to go. We're following our codes and our zoning processes and just making sure that we're still taking care of the citizens who are already there.
One of your fellow council members, Arnie Woodard, says that you're in the final stages of changing the development codes to kind of make them simpler, more user-friendly. Have you participated in that?
Not per se. A lot of this was done before I got on council. There were actually previous council members that used to meet together, and they went through the code with a fine-tooth comb and picked a whole bunch of stuff out. And there are a few things that I would like to revisit just because I feel like there might have been some unintended consequences to pulling out some of those. And so just that's why I think it's very important for us to be very careful about what changes we're making. You know, ultimately, we're making changes that affect everybody. It's not just us or certain people. You know, everybody has to follow these rules. And so making sure that if a decision that we're making doesn't have unintended consequences is important. And so just making sure that we're being responsible about our building, we're getting all the stakeholders together to talk about how this will affect people, and making sure that we're making the best decision for Spokane Valley. We want to keep our neighborhood feel, but also we have to make sure that we're accommodating the growth as well.
And how does this work with the stated goal of Spokane Valley government to be what they call business friendly? They're really running a campaign to attract new business of all sizes to Spokane Valley.
Absolutely. And I really think we are moving in a positive direction in that manner. I love that they're working on being business friendly. I don't think we've quite yet achieved that 100%. I feel like there are some things that we could still work on. I have heard that our permitting process has been quite easier and they've streamlined that. I also am very proud of the fact that we are working on our Northeast industrial area to bring some of those businesses in and drive some economic factors there. I'm very proud that the Inland Paper Company and Katerra and Progress Rail and some of these other businesses found something in Spokane Valley in order to move here. So we are doing some things right, but, you know, we can always be improving and always be better.
In terms of transportation, a lot of the council effort right now is attempting to find a steady means of funding for street maintenance, for transportation projects out in the future. Some cities like Spokane have adopted a transportation benefit district with a car tab tax or fee to create a fund for street maintenance. There's going to be an issue on the ballot that may go away if it passes, but let's assume that it doesn't pass and you still have that option. Would that be something you'd consider?
It would definitely be something I'd be willing to research. I don't know that it's something that would be right for Spokane Valley. I think no matter what we're doing, I think we need to get stakeholders and public input and find out what the taxpayers want to do. I mean, ultimately, they are the ones who pay the taxes, and making sure that we're not targeting one vulnerable community, I think, is very important, which is why, you know, things such as a utility tax have came up in the past. I know that there's something that we're going to need to be looking at, but just making sure that we're doing something that's equitable to the entire Spokane Valley, I think, is very important.
So at this point, you don't have a specific project or plan that you're looking at. You're still in the general look around stage.
I wouldn't say that. So we just had a presentation a few weeks ago where they gave us exactly where we're at on our roads. And we had a consultant come in and they said that we're doing a pretty good job on our roads. And so I know for sure that a utility tax is not something that I think I would like to see. One being that I feel like it taxes a vulnerable community. We have a hard time paying utility bills as it is as a community. And so I don't think that I would like to go in that direction. I think at this point, there's a couple other options that have came forward, especially since the 976 has came forward. A lot of the meetings that I've been in, they're looking at other ways that we can go about this. And as you mentioned, the TBD may not be something that we may be able to look into, but it's definitely something I'm interested in. I want to get some more information. But like I said, I think it's very important for the public to weigh in on this since they would be the one paying the taxes.
In the main, however, Spokane Valley City's finances have really been real good. You've banked a lot of the property tax increment that you could have taken but did not. You have a lot of savings. What all goes into making a good positive cash flow, a good positive revenue versus expenses budget situation?
Well, we're really fortunate that our city manager is actually a CPA. And so he has a lot of budgetary experience, and we're very thankful for that because we have what's called a 50% reserve. And so we're always making sure that we have that money coming in. And so if there is ever a situation that we needed to have emergency funds, we have several contingencies in place that would help us if there was ever an economic downturn. Also, we never spend more than what we have. And ever since I got on council, before I got there, there was an attitude that people didn't want to take grant funds. But we've actually doubled our grant funds in the last 2 years, which has made it possible for us to be fiscally conservative because we had that $7 million that we just rolled over from 2 years ago that now we get to start putting towards capital projects and we can start getting projects done. So I think our staff does an amazing job and we do a lot of research to make sure that we're making or being good stewards of our citizens' taxpaying or tax dollars.
The future of parks and recreation in Spokane Valley is also under study. Where are you on the need to expand the park facilities?
I'm really proud of the fact that we've put parks as a priority. It's definitely not in the top three, but it's still something that our citizens would like us to move forward on. So we doubled our property at the Sullivan Park just recently, and we're really excited about that because we have what are called water rapids right there, and apparently they're very well known. So we're going to capitalize on that, and hopefully in the future we can do something there that can bring some more people to our city, and so they can see how beautiful it is. And also, too, I feel in the society that we have now, there's so many things that people can be doing, but everything costs money. So it's important for us to have parks. It's important for us to have a community feel. People can go to parks. They can have memories. They can spend time together, and they don't have to spend money. And so I think that's very important. Piece of a community. And, you know, it's been a while since we've obtained any park property. And this year we've really focused on that. So there's a couple that are in the works, and I'm really excited to see where we come up with that.
Do you agree with some of the other council members that kind of look on Spokane Valley City Center, potential city center, that is, as being in the Sprague University area, where there's the Balfour Park, that there's a potential for a library there? The City Hall is already located there. Do you see the need that that there should be a focus in that vicinity to create a city center, or not?
While I've been out doorbelling, many people have expressed their concern with the fact that we don't have what's called a downtown. And so because City Hall is there, there is a park across the street, and now we have the opportunity to build a library or whatever it may be that's going to go there. I think it's something that we definitely need to focus on. I think it's great because there will be an Appleway Trail connection. And so eventually, you know, down the line, we might be able to tie that into the Centennial Trail. I think it's also important, too, that as far as Balfour Park is concerned, if we do get it developed, it could be a place for maybe a farmer's market or events or, you know, concerts, things of that sort. And so, you know, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. There's lots of other cities that have done things like this, and it's been very successful. And I think it's something our citizens are asking for, so we need to do that.
Let's move on to the third point that you make. You call it community engagement. What do you mean by that?
I think it's really important for us to get out into the community and talk to people. And I know some people would argue that they do enough of that, but I would disagree. Most people, you know, think that coming to a council meeting and answering emails and phone calls is enough. And I don't think so. I believe that we need to get out and talk to people. We need to be seen. We need to make sure that we're getting feedback and letting people know that we are there to be their voice. And so some of the things that I've done to be more accessible and to get more engagement is what I call coffee chats. So I had the police chief come and sit down, and we talked each of what our job duties were, because some people don't even know what it is that we do. And so we told them, you know, this is what we do. This is what we're in charge of. And what do you like? What don't you like? What would you like to see? We got lots of positive feedback, and I was really excited that as many people came as they did. And it just shows that people are wanting to get involved. They just don't know how. So the more we can get out into the community, and the education piece is really key for me. I feel like the more education that we give people, the better educated voters they can be, and the more that they can get involved. If people aren't familiar or don't feel comfortable speaking up, they're not going to get involved. And that's why I feel like a lot of people don't come to our meetings, is because people are intimidated. And so we've got to cross that barrier. We've got to get out and talk to people. And that's why I also have a very good Facebook presence, and I share things all over the place because I think education is really important. And I've found that the more I talk to people and let them know about what's going on in our city and things that they can do or ways they can get involved or to have an opinion, the better community that we have.
So how do you break down the silos that have been traditionally out in Spokane Valley, where people think of themselves more as a resident of Dishman, of Chester, Vera, Greenacres, and not of Spokane Valley per se?
Well, being that I've grown up in Spokane Valley and I've been there for the last 28 years and I watched the city incorporate, I have a lot of those relationships, and I think that's really important too. I'm able to bring lots of people together. I get along with most everybody I meet. And so the fact that I'm able to talk to people in Spokane or Liberty Lake or Millwood or Airway Heights or or even just the little communities inside of Spokane Valley, it's important for us to have relationships. And I think that's the main key there. So just making sure that we're all talking to each other. And really, quite frankly, I mean, the more you get outside of your community and talk to other people, the better you are together.
So would you consider holding your coffee chats in different locations throughout the valley to make it, say, simpler for someone to come
Absolutely.
To one of them?
Yep. That's actually the plan. I'm in the works of doing another one as we speak, and we will be featuring different places all over the valley. And not everybody can come to a city council meeting. Not everybody has email. Not everybody has a phone. So the more ways that we can get out and talk to people, I feel like the better community we'll have. I mean, it's all about making Spokane Valley a better place. And so that's my goal.
There's one other issue that surfaces on a regular basis, and we're talking about the regional homeless problem. And there have been some complaints, not in Spokane Valley itself, but from outside entities that say Spokane Valley is not covering its share of the solution to the problem. However, the more I'm getting into this, the more I'm realizing there is money that's being set aside and spent by Spokane Valley. So I'd like to get your ideas on how do you work with homeless on a regional basis?
Absolutely. And you are right. Spokane Valley has been giving money to Spokane County for quite some time to help with the homeless situation. And so we may not have the social service department that the city of Spokane does, but we are still giving our money over to Spokane County so they can help deal regionally with that issue. Also, too, I feel it's really important for us to be working. Like I said, I think relationships are key. So I've made an effort to get out and speak to the county, to the city, and to some of the stakeholders who are in this situation, because it's important for us to work together. You know, people who are homeless don't know boundaries. They don't know the difference between the city of Spokane, the city of Spokane Valley. It doesn't matter. And so we need to be working on this regionally. And so the fact that they were even willing to come to us and ask us to be part of the conversation, I was very excited about. And during a council meeting, I had advocated for us to continue that conversation. And I know there's been a few speed bumps, but we need to continue working together because we need to take care of the situation. And so one of the reasons that I'm so proud of the fact that we have that co-response team, which is the mental health professional and the law enforcement officer together, is so they're going out and helping some of these people who are not committing crimes but just need resources. So that's one of the things I think that's going to be helping this. And Spokane Valley experiences a different kind of homelessness than the city of Spokane sees. The teens in our community are the ones who are experiencing homelessness the most. And so we need to work with our school districts. We need to work with some of the nonprofits that are inside our city limits who are already doing this work. We may not have the department that's working to fix these problems, but we do have resources where we can go and work with these entities who are already doing the work. So it's important for us to be continuing the conversations, making sure that we're coming up with solutions and at least working together to solve the problem. We're not going to be able to do this on our own.
And in closing, is there any area that we have not covered that you'd like to speak about?
Yes, I think one of the main things for me is just knowing that I've been in this position for the last 2 years. I think it's important for people to know that good work is being done. In the past 2 years, this has been a historical last 2 years for Spokane Valley. We're getting our parks taken care of. We're getting our roads taken care of. Our budget is completely fiscally sound. We're saving money. We're getting projects done. And I just think that's a testament to the work that's already being done here. And so I would like to continue moving forward and putting Spokane Valley's needs first. And I think also, too, being a female and that I'm young, I can relate with the younger generation. And I really want the younger generation to get involved. Eventually, they're going to need to step up and be a part of the solution as well. So it's important for them to know that their voices matter. It's also important for people to know that I do have the experience. I've been here. I've gone through four of the budget processes. I've been involved. You know, being able to get your hands in on a budget and typing it up are two separate things. And so I think it's really important that people know that, yes, it's only been 2 years, but since I've been there and been behind the scenes and I know what's going on, I can continue moving forward. And I just think that somebody who's willing to work with others and sit down with anybody and try to get Spokane Valley's needs taken care of needs to be supported. And so I would be absolutely honored for your vote. And I appreciate all of the support I've received so far. And I just thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to sit down with you.
That's Spokane Valley City Council candidate Brandi Peets talking with correspondent John Vlahovich. Her opponent is Michelle Rasmussen, from whom we'll hear in our next podcast. We posted most of John's interviews with Spokane Valley candidates at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Go to the Regional News tab and then click on Election 2019. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow.